Disclaimer: The Good Divorce Podcast is unscripted, authentic conversations with genuine people. Real life is hard sometimes, and that means sometimes these stories may contain content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of The Good Divorce Podcast. I'm Tom Kendrick. Tonight, I am grateful to hear Erin Burton's story and to have her share the experience of finding a way to move on while not erasing the past, moving forward with divorce in a collaborative way, and some of what the emotional journey was like. And now let's take off into the interview with Erin Burton. Before I take off into the interview, I'd like to take a moment to make space for anyone who is currently within the process of divorce or just getting started. If you're listening, know that you are not alone. Whatever you might be feeling now is true and valid. You will get through this. It is difficult, and you can do it. Tonight I'm excited to have Erin Burton on the podcast, and I'm sure you're wondering, like I am, who is Erin Burton? So Erin, would you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Yes. Hi, I'm Erin Burton. I am 41 years old. I have two kids. Andrew is 13 and Lainey is 9. I have been divorced from their dad for almost 9 years, 8 years, I should say. I work as an interior designer in West Des Moines, Iowa, and we do a lot of activities as a family together. And Chad and I have always had a pretty amicable relationship and have done the whole co-parenting thing quite well. And I think that we have tried really hard to just put ourselves out there as a success story for divorce.
Great. That's a good intro. I like that. So my first questions are kind of two parts. What is your divorce story? Just kind of generally, and then define what good means for your situation.
Our divorce story. Well, that started about 8 years ago when we got divorced.
This isn't going to be a "this is why we got divorced" situation. It happened. Situations happened and we got divorced. That's irrelevant to the way that we handled it moving forward. So we were kind of unique in the sense that we actually shared a divorce attorney, and we didn't have court. We didn't have mediation. We filled out the paperwork. And one of the plus sides of not really having many assets is it's really easy to go through all of that paperwork. So that was pretty easy for us. Splitting up the kids was really a no-brainer. He worked on nights and weekends, so I had the kids the majority of the time. Things have changed since then, but he has them more often, almost like a 50-50 split right now. But we just kind of sailed through, for lack of better terms, all of the divorce proceedings. And here we are 8 years later, happily ever after. And a good divorce in our terms would be something where we are able to work together very well with the kids, school, sporting events, personal lives, all that kind of stuff. And also, just because we got divorced doesn't mean we lost that family aspect. We still very much do mom and dad things together. And like ex-in-laws, I would still consider them part of my family, as my family would consider Chad part of our family. So I think good means we are still very present in each other's lives, and active, obviously, with the kids together, and have really no plans of not doing that in the future.
I like that you talked about the collaborative, being collaborative in your process. That was one thing as I went through it that I, again, was not aware that was even a thing. So I guess, can you maybe describe how you decided or figured out that you could move forward together in that collaborative way?
Yeah, it wasn't really even an option not to. As we discussed getting divorced and things like that, we knew, obviously, having kids and young kids, that we would be doing this together separately for a very long time. So conversations between Chad and myself, and conversations with my family and his family, it was always, we will come together when we need to. And obviously we have time apart. We don't spend holidays together and things like that. Not that we wouldn't, but we don't, because our lives have moved on and whatnot. But it was basically just expected by Chad and I. And it was never really even an option to not move forward that way.
Just from my own experience, yeah, going through the collaborative legal process was interesting. And like you said, it was myself and my former spouse also shared the attorney and went through that. And it was very easy. And as I recall, as when we pushed the final paperwork through, she told us, the ending will be very anticlimactic. We'll just tell you that they processed it through the court and you're good to go. And I mean, and she was right. That's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
What experiences gave you the ability to see past any perceptions of divorce negativity or negative connotations about divorce?
One of the things that we knew that we would have to really stick together on was our son and his health, knowing that there are going to be a lot of doctor's appointments and potential for hospital stays or surgeries or major, major decisions that we would need to make together. He was actually born with a complex congenital heart defect. So the need for us to be a united front for him and his health, I think, was definitely part of that decision. And just one of the main things that we always wanted to do was show the kids that we're happy and you can move forward with your life after a traumatic incident. I mean, I'll say it's traumatic, even though it can be a not negative version of trauma. But just to move forward and kind of pick yourself back up and put your big girl pants on and move on with your life and still be happy with it. And just because you're moving on doesn't mean you have to erase everything in the past. That we wanted to show the kids, especially the kids, that it's possible to be separate and be happy and be successful in future relationships and things like that. And just never, ever put us against each other in their eyes. And one of the things that was important to us was to stay a united front so that they never felt like they had to pick sides or pick a favorite or pick a, you know, who they want to be with or be around. We just wanted them to always feel very comfortable around both of us together, separate, just making sure that their needs were first and foremost.
I really appreciate your strong co-parenting team that you just described. That's definitely one thing that my former spouse and I immediately saw that was a good thing that we could continue and use to make our divorce situation a good one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And since you mentioned your son, how did you and Chad go kind of, how did you specifically explain the divorce to your son?
So when we got divorced, our daughter was about one. She hadn't turned two yet. So there was really no explanation necessary there. And Andrew would have been about four. So they were, I feel like we're lucky that Chad and I were lucky that they were that young, because they, neither one of them really have a recollection of us living together and being together. So it isn't something that they, oh, I miss when mom and dad used to do this, or, you know, holidays aren't the same when it's not mom and dad together, because they were obviously young enough that it just kind of flowed into this next chapter of life that we were going to. He knew, he was four, so he understood that we're moving, and he's going to have two houses and two rooms and all of these things. And we just were very open and honest with them. And I would say going forward, as they've gotten older, they obviously understand, hey, mom, dad are divorced. They're not divorced kind of like other parents are, because we see them together and we do things together, and I'll go out and hang out and give design advice and do things at dad and stepmom's house. And that's not what the kids see. So I think they're very appreciative of the fact that we have created that environment for them and provided them with stability within a divorced family.
Right. Yeah. That with those ages, you kind of, like you said, kind of luck out with that, and makes that the explaining process easier, because
you know,
they just grow up living in having two houses, and oh, this is great because I get to have two houses. So yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. That was something that my former spouse was an experience that she brought to our process going through. It I think she was two when it happened for her. So she doesn't remember it as anything but being having two houses, and she,
right.
She thought that was normal. So,
right.
That's a good positive way to go forward with it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What was the toughest part for you going through this? And as you were in that, what did you do to try to stay positive?
I think for myself, and probably for Chad too, the hardest part was losing that like nuclear family unit, that the definition and what, you know, what we had expected, because obviously you don't get married expecting to get divorced or have kids expecting to separate them from mom and dad's house. I think just the thought of taking away some of those core family experiences from the kids was the hardest to think about. And you, people have said this before, but you mourn the loss of that family. Just because they're still there, but it isn't that like group of four that it used to be. And I think that is probably what I struggled with the most. Something else I struggled with, quite honestly, was people's expectation for me to be angry or mad or lash out or things like that. And I didn't feel like that was going to be productive for our growth and moving forward into these separate lives. But there was an expectation from, anybody really, to be mad and to point fingers and blame and hold on to this anger and resentment, because I think that's what people see as normal so often. And it was really hard for me to stay mad, because it wasn't a decision that we made out of anger, or it was a decision we really made out of love and understanding that we need to do this to be better for ourselves. And I just found it really hard to filter the negative that was coming in externally and trying to dictate how I should be feeling or how I should be reacting to this situation. And I think things that helped with that is just explaining to people, like, this is how we're going to do it. And no, I'm not going to be mad. If you want to be mad, you can be mad for me, but I'm not doing it. I just chose, and it's definitely a choice, to not be angry and to not fight about everything. I mean, we didn't fight about anything. There was never yelling or anything like that. That's not the kind of relationship we had. And that is not how things were even at the end. But personally, I just talking about the situation was helpful for me, and being honest and open about things. And I think that my therapy came in yoga classes, because I would find myself at the end of class with tears and crying a lot. And it just let out a lot of emotions and helped me process things. And I had also had, my sister had just recently been through a divorce also, so she was a good resource. And she and I have a lot of similarities in our story. So for us to have each other as a sounding board, to know that you can do this nicely and fairly and without the arguments and things like that, even though that's not what the majority of the population around us is telling me divorce should be like. It was good to have kind of an ally in that sense.
Yeah, I can definitely identify with having an ally, having a resource like that. I had a friend who had been through a divorce several years prior, and it was very helpful to have that, have somebody who had been through it to talk through. And this person who also was exemplary in their current co-parenting relationship and how they did things. And that was also a good positive example for me to use as well. So that's mm-hmm. great that you had that resource. I like that you talked earlier, used the word traumatic and described it as not necessarily a bad traumatic, and also that you called it, moving on and not erasing. I really appreciate that type of description, and that connected well with what you just said now about mourning the loss of that nuclear family. Those were I can relate to those experiences as well.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm calling this the Good Divorce Podcast, but it is hard. It starts out hard.
Yes.
We can't deny that. So definitely. What advice do you have for people just starting out in a relationship? What should they know about divorce?
Starting off in a relationship, it's scary and hard, and there's always a lot of questions, but I also don't think people should be scared to start a relationship with the fear that something bad is going to happen and it's going to end in a bad breakup or divorce or something like that. I think you do have to have a lot of confidence in yourself and in your partner, but you need to wholeheartedly move forward and do everything you can communication wise and trusting your partner and yourself to make good decisions that you can't foresee what's going to happen. And sometimes life just hands you some really crappy hands, and you realize through those that you're growing in different directions or you're changing as a person. And but you can't be afraid to change and better yourself and or hold back who you need to be or who you think you're supposed to be to preserve a relationship. You have to be able to grow as a person. You have to be able to grow as a couple. And if either one of those things is being held back by a relationship, maybe it's time to part ways, because it's not good for you to not be you. And it's not good for you to not be a good partner in a relationship. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to the other person. So I'm not saying that you should go into it thinking, oh, it's okay if we get divorced, because before I got divorced, I'd say, heck no, I'm not an advocate for divorce. But I'm even more so not an advocate for not being happy and making the decision that is right for you. I don't think anyone should stay married because of children, because I don't think that's fair to kids. I don't think it gives them a good example of self-care or having respect for yourself or your spouse, significant other, whatever. I just think that you need to be your best self. And sometimes that best self is a single person.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. Those are all very good. That's all very good advice, I think. And especially the part where you said, if you had asked me beforehand, I would not have gone, totally not be about divorce. But I think people can identify with that too, that just starting out in it's not a thought, and you're right, it shouldn't be, but I think it is good to be aware of something that, if, as you described, if you get to a point where it's something's not working, then you do have an option, and it can be the right option. So,
and it doesn't have to be nasty.
Right. Exactly. What is one thing you would say to someone just embarking on a divorce journey?
If I had one piece of advice for someone just starting off on a divorce journey, it would be, give yourself a moment before you react. Sleep on a decision, put a pause in a conversation, walk away from a conversation to stop yourself from saying things that you will regret. It's so easy to just lash out and verbally attack because you're angry or scared. But words resonate and they stay there forever. And it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to get that dig in to take your relationship to that place where you're going to be nasty and you are trying to shame people or blame people. The fact of the matter is, you both got into this relationship and you're both going to get out of it. So the more grace and the more dignity that you can preserve between the two of you, you will never, ever regret that decision. But if you get nasty and start saying words that you mean at the time, but long-term you really don't, you can't ever take that back.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah. And that is some great advice. Definitely great advice there. Can you describe, if possible, the difference in, for you, the difference in divorce as a legal process and divorce as a relationship emotional process for you?
Okay. Divorce is a legal process for me, and well, I would say for Chad too, was simple. We followed the rules. We showed up when we were supposed to show up. I think we met with an attorney twice, signed the papers, hugged in the parking lot, went on our way. As an emotional journey, it was a lot different because that's where you have to do the work. The signing the papers, the meeting with lawyers and stuff, that's all just very black and white. And really, there's nothing black and white when you're dealing with your emotions when it comes to divorce. I won't sugarcoat it. It was ugly in the beginning, just personal, like dealing with it emotionally. It's scary. It's something that you don't ever really foresee happening. So you don't have a plan for this. And you go through phases of, how am I going to survive on my own financially? How am I going to raise these kids in a house by myself? They outnumber me. It's scary. But then you just start to see good things happen. And then there's a holiday and you are back down and sad and maybe regret the decision a little bit because you're doing things alone. Emotionally, sounds cliche, but it's a roller coaster. It really is. There's a lot of gray area where you don't know how you're supposed to feel or react to situations. There's, you know, when your partner or you are introducing significant others into the mix and there's kids involved. It's just, there's a whole lot of things where nobody tells you how to react, how to feel, what's normal, other than being angry and hating that person and, being, you know, spiteful towards anybody else coming into the relationship. So we were just always very, very open and honest about everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, it was everything we talked about. But I think obviously legally, super easy. Emotionally, you have to do work.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. Myself have been doing the work for the past year and a half, and you're right. It is a cliche, but it is true. It is a roller coaster. I use that term frequently, at the very early stages, and because I mean, that's just what it felt like. And I really value how you described the scariness of it and going through phases. And I mean, because I guess the phases and roller coaster kind of go together, because you have you have high energy phases and then you have low energy phases of of everything you're going through. So I can certainly identify with all of that description for the emotional process and work as well. And I can imagine that other people will also identify with that. That's really good. I appreciate that answer.
Thanks.
Now that we've had this discussion and we've just kind of thought through and you've spoken about your divorce experience, since this is the Good Divorce Podcast, do you feel your divorce was good in your definition?
I honestly do. I look back on very few memories of getting divorced and have regret. And those are just little things that I'm probably being very critical of myself. But I don't regret not listening to friends or family or whoever it was telling me to be mad and get angry. I don't regret not dragging, you know, Chad's name through the mud. I don't regret ever, you know, speaking poorly of them, of him to the kids. Like, I don't want to sound like I think I did a perfect job through it, because I know that I made mistakes. But from those mistakes, I adjusted my behaviors and my attitude. And hopefully, after, you know, if in those bumps, I straightened myself out and dealt with a similar situation differently the next time. And as the years have gone by, since we've been divorced for about 8 years, things do get easier. They get so much easier because the kids understand it and you don't have to explain your situation to everybody. It just is what it is. And if you just go out there and you show that you're still committed to each other without having, you know, the legal marriage or the romantic relationship, but we're committed to being a pair and being together for the kids, you know, they're going to grow up, they're going to have grandkids, we're going to be grandparents together, we're going to do all these things together, regardless of the fact that we're not together. So I just think making our relationship strong, and we trust each other very much with the decisions with the kids, and we just have a lot of respect for each other. And I think the kids see that, and that in my terms, them knowing that mom and dad are behind us no matter what, that makes me feel like we did a good job with the divorce.
That's a great answer. I really appreciate that. And I think one of the greatest things that I got out of the legal process was the children in the middle required class. And the one that I took, the instructor explained very clearly and very well that you will always be a family. And so you have to be able to take those steps in order to keep that working for your kids, and because they need that. And so I really appreciate that. That's what you identified, and that's something that I identified, and it really helped me also to figure out that divorce isn't as bad as it seems to be out in the world. So that's a great great example there. Do you have any books or authors or other resources that you found that most helpful that you could recommend to listeners?
I really don't. I just kind of flew by the seat of my pants and really just hoped that I was doing the best that I could.
All right.
I don't.
That's fair. And I'm sure many people can, you know, feel like they're stuck in a little bit of a crisis mode. And, you know, when you're in that, it can be hard to be identifying resources like that. So I get that too, definitely.
Yep.
And finally, how can listeners stay connected and engaged with you?
I am on Facebook with the name Erin Miller Burton hyphenated, and also on Instagram. And I just do a lot of follow up with kids stuff and heart stuff and design stuff. And I would love to connect with people on both of those outlets.
Very good. Well, Erin, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me on this, what will be the very, well, I guess, second, because I'm going to post mine first, second episode of the Good Divorce Podcast to share your story. It's always interesting for me to hear others, and I'm very grateful you decided to be a part of this. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do you have a divorce story you want to share? Do you know someone who would be willing to tell their story? Please check out the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook for additional information, or email your guest suggestions to gooddivorcepodcast@gmail.com. Everyone has a story to tell, and I would love to hear and share yours. If you've enjoyed this episode and others, I hope you'll consider a contribution to help support the software and hosting services required to make this podcast a reality. I do not have plans to include advertisements, so if you're inclined, you can support the podcast by contributing to PayPal at tkendrick179 or on Venmo at tomkendrick. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Divorce Podcast. To learn more, please find the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook. You can also find other social media posts on Instagram at Good Divorce Podcast and on Twitter at Divorce Good. I hope you've enjoyed this story. Together we can find and live the good in a tough situation.